Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her neighbours and her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy command, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Trust the Lord will bless that public reading of his word. did that lovely Welsh tune called Trwyn. Our gracious God and Father, and now we turn to meditate upon thy word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate our minds, that he will give us understanding, that he will speak to us the message that thou has in store for us. We ask that the weakness of the speaker will be forgotten, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will be heard through the ministry of this word. We ask it in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus. Amen. You won't need me to tell you that on one wonderful occasion, our blessed Lord gave this wonderful trilogy of things concerning things that were lost. And in their way, they speak to us those various aspects of our salvation. Some of you will realize these truths and will be able to apply them to your own lives, saying, yes, that's what happened to me. That's where I stand. If not, I would urge you to try and sort your position out in the sight of God. As I say, these three parables in this chapter that I've read all have the same thing in common, that they all concern things that are lost. But did you notice they all culminated in joy when they were found? The Lord was speaking these words to publicans and sinners. But while he was speaking to them, they were overheard by the scribes and the Pharisees, and it didn't meet with their approval. And what the Lord was saying to these publicans and sinners was this, that they all need to repent of their sins and approach God for salvation. Now we'll get a fuller picture of that as we go through all these verses. I did say that these words were addressed to publicans and sinners. Let me say just a little bit about that. Today we tend to think of publicans as a man who keeps a pub down the road. It wasn't so in the time of our Lord. A publican was a tax collector. Well, that's all right. You have to collect taxes to keep the country going, and you have to have men to keep them. But in this particular case, the man had been appointed by the Romans. And he was looked upon by all the Jewish population as a traitor because he was collecting taxes for the Romans. So he was despised. Some of you who were alive during the last war will remember that the Germans invaded Norway. And there was great consternation when the Germans appointed a Norwegian man to collect all the taxes and administer the country for him. His name was Quisling. Hence we get the name Quisling. He was a traitor. And this is how these Jewish people would have looked at this man who was hearing the gospel preached to him. Now I'm telling you this because the gospel is for the lowest of the low. It includes everyone. This man was an outcast in society because he was a traitor. Now we might not be outcasts in society, but we will certainly be outcasts in the sight of God if we are still in our sins. And for that reason I say the gospel is for you. But who else is he speaking to? He is speaking to the publicans and the sinners. Who were the sinners? Well, in society at that time, there were two types of sinners. People who were known as sinners. One were the ladies of the street, and the men that consorted with them. people despise them. The respectable people despise them anyway. But here the Lord was coming to them and saying, look, no matter how low your life, you can still come and find salvation. But there was another class who were considered sinners. Because when the Lord Jesus was preaching this word, he was beside the Sea of Galilee. And he was in an area known as Galilee of the Gentiles. One of these Pharisees would have been offended by this, because here was the Lord preaching to Gentiles, people who weren't Jewish people at all. Now, I'm jolly glad about that, because I'm a Gentile. And because of that, the gospel has reached me. The Jews thought that they had God's special blessing. Well, they did. But it wasn't restricted to them. If they knew their Bibles, they knew there were famous people in the Old Testament who were Gentiles, who received the grace of God. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. Think of Potiphar. They were Gentiles, and God blessed them. But here, the Lord was saying, look, salvation is available for people outside the Jewish nation, available for Gentiles. Hence, this message is available for you. The Jews might call Gentiles sinners, but the message of salvation is for you. Well, what was the message that the Lord was imparting to them? We get it in verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord Jesus Christ was in effect saying, look, I receive you as a sinner. I'll have fellowship with you. The Jews are grumbling about this. Look, this man who claims to be something special, claims to be a prophet, is eating with all these sinners. They didn't realize the import of what they were saying. And they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it's on that basis that the Lord receives us. He receives us as sinners. He takes the sin away, but nonetheless, he receives us and has fellowship with us. When you think of it, there's no one outside the scope of this term, is there? For all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. So we were all sinners at one time, and we knew the salvation and the forgiveness of sins that come through trusting the Lord Jesus. Well, now then, that's the basis of what the Lord Jesus was saying. But he gives three parables to illustrate this. The first one concerns a shepherd, one of whose sheep had gone missing. The second one was a coin that was lost. And the third one, a son that was lost. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ linked all these three parables together to illustrate three aspects of salvation. Firstly, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, in the matter of the coin, it was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And in the matter of the Son, he was proclaiming this message because he wants to emphasize the aspect of God the Father in our salvation. I know people very often tend to separate the three and preach a wonderful gospel message on each of those three, but I think they're linked. And that's why I want to bring them to you in this way tonight. Now, obviously this covers an awful lot. There's quite a long chapter. There's 32 verses in it. If I was to digest every verse, we'd be here till doomsday. So I just want to pick out some of the important points and leave you to work out the rest. I could spiritualize the whole lot, but I'm not going to. Now, the first one then concerns the parable of the lost sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Here was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to find the lost sheep. Now, the Bible implies, doesn't it, that it was his sheep, even though he was lost. And we must apply this to ourselves. Until we came to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted his salvation, we were lost. But even before that, we were his. Why do I say that? Because if we turn to the first book of Ephesians, we find that we were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. He had set his grace upon us before ever we were thought of, before ever the world was made. Truly, we were lost. We were lost in sin. But here was the Lord Jesus Christ going out to claim his own. And what happened? This shepherd went out. Now, this hymn that we sang had some very flowery language. I'm not quite sure whether it was like that all the time. Incidentally, it was an accident that we had that hymn, because the first hymn that I picked wasn't known, and we just lighted on this one. So it fitted in so well. But this shepherd went out looking for this sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ looking for us. Now, what does he do then to bring us back into his fold? I can tell you all sorts of things. For a start, he left his high estate in heaven and came to this earth as a babe. He went to the cross, and this is the important thing, he hung on a cross. And when he was hanging on the cross, he was bearing the curse of sin for us. It should have been us that were cursed. But here was the Lord Jesus Christ bearing it for us, so that we could be brought back into the fold of God. What a blessing. If you and I have come to that position where we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master and are endeavouring to serve him, it is because we were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world, and he has come after us and saved us and brought us back into the fold. One or two other little things I want to say about this. He brought it back, and there was rejoicing. Rejoicing in heaven over a sinner coming to repentance. Rejoicing that the Lord had claimed his own. The Lord rejoiced. The angels in heaven rejoiced. And when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole church rejoiced that you have found salvation. And what was the result of this? This sheep, having been brought back into the fold, was secure forever and ever. And you and I find the Lord Jesus Christ to be our sin bearer and saviour. We are secure for eternity. What does it say in the last verse of Psalm 23? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your promise, if you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in finding his own. But time's passing quickly, so let me pass on to the next one. It concerns a woman that lost her coin. She had 10 others, but she realised one was missing, and she got a candle and a brush and looked diligently for it. Now, at this point, I want to stop. And I want Abigail to come and help me. Come out here for a minute, Abigail. I want to show... Can I take your hat off for a minute? I know the ladies should have their heads covered. But I wanted you to show people what this lady would be like with her missing coin. I hope that's not too tight. Oh dear, not pulling the hair out. There we are. No. A Jewish lady would look something like this. Yeah. Is that comfy? Can you see what... Put your hand there and hold it. That's it. Can you see what I'm saying? This lady who had this coin missing, it was probably a dowry where she had been given all these silver coins to as part of a marriage settlement. But can you notice this? Just here, there's one missing. Now, with this lady, that would mean she was either careless or that she didn't honour her marriage vows very much. I can tell you what's missing from there. It is a silver coin. It's a fourpenny piece. You ever seen a fourpenny piece? Yes. I don't know what's happened to it, but it's gone. Fourpenny piece, incidentally, was called a groat, and I think the one I had was probably the one that the Queen gives out on Maundy Thursday. Anyway, that gives an illustration of what this lady was like. I better not to... That might get uncomfortable. Can you take it off? There we are. There's your hat. Okay, thank you very much. There we are. Can you see the truth of what I was saying? That this woman had 9 others. She lost one. And she sought diligently till she found it. Because she didn't want to be thought a careless wife. Or an unfaithful wife. And what did she do? She lit a candle and went around the house looking for it. And she got a brush and sweeping all the corners till she found it. And she did find it. And having found it, she called all the neighbours in and says, "Come and have a cup of tea, I found that coin." Well, perhaps not a cup of tea, but she rejoiced with them anyway. Now, why do I tell you this story? Or why did the Lord say it? How was that coin found? It was found because they lit a candle and they swept. And what does this say to me? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes the word to be proclaimed. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do various things. Now let me give you an example. You come along here tonight to hear me speak. It's not an accident. It's not an accident that our brother here has had a busy week that Nigel had to ask me to come. It was all part of God's plan. It's not an accident that you come along to hear me tonight. That was all part of God's plan. And how is it God's plan? The Holy Spirit put it into Nigel's mind to ask me to speak. The Holy Spirit put it into your mind to come along tonight and have fellowship with us around the Word of God. This is the agency of the Holy Spirit. And whenever a soul comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you what should happen. He should feel jolly uncomfortable because of his sins. And why? Because the Holy Spirit is prompting him to feel sorry for his sins. And what happens then? The Holy Spirit will cause that person to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And what happens then? The Holy Spirit will give that person the witness in his heart that he has been forgiven and he is now truly a child of God. I say this because I believe that that candle and that brush speaks of the word of the Holy Spirit. Certainly the coin was found. Certainly many of us have been found because the Holy Spirit has pointed us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one or two little things about this. The woman had 9 others, but one was missing. It was a small silver coin. In terms of money, it wasn't worth very much. In terms of the church, one, you think, doesn't make a difference. But there's one missing. One insignificant person. But the Lord wants you and tell you that the church is not complete. It was silver. It was a precious metal. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you find that you are precious in his sight. This silver coin had come off and was somewhere in the dirt. Nothing it could do to save itself and put itself back onto this thing that was going around Abigail's head. It was helpless. And in the same way, before we come to the Lord Jesus, there's nothing that we can do to improve our situation until we are prompted by the Holy Spirit to come to the Lord Jesus. And one last thing before I go off this coin is this. That coin was in the dirt, probably getting muckier and muckier and muckier. Isn't this what happens whilst we are away from God? We go deeper and deeper into sin. But this coin was walked back and put in its right place and cleaned up, and there was rejoicing with the neighbours, rejoicing in heaven, because that coin had been found. Now let me go on to the other one, other lost thing, the son that was lost. Again, this is a lovely story. And I can go into every detail of it and bring out some wonderful lessons. I'm not going to. I'm just going to stick to the main things and invite you to think of them yourself. But this man, by his own actions, went missing with all his money and squandered it and finished up working for a pig farmer. Well, then, this is a Jew that we're talking about. And to a Jew, a pig was an unclean animal. How this man has sunk that he is now having to feed pigs, and not only feed pigs, but eat pig food because he was so hungry. But there's something I want you to notice. That this man, although he was in a far country, although he had sunk pretty low in sin, he was still the Father's son. There's a lesson for us here. Before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were away from him. But if we believe that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, we are still his son, and we still have to come to him. We have to come for him for cleansing. We have to come for him for salvation. He was still the Father's son. The problem is that the farther we are away from God, the worse our predicament gets. With this man, it started as having a good time, he thought. But when the money went, his friends went. and he went deeper and deeper into sin. Now, is that a picture of us before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? No hope for us. We get ourselves in a terrible tangle. But nonetheless, we can come back to God. This man did. I can imagine him sitting in a pigsty, thinking to himself, "This is daft. Here am I eating acorns or something like that which the pigs would eat, and back home the meanest servant in the kitchen is having a good meal. What am I doing here?" And he came to himself, says the scriptures, and wanted to go home. How did he come to himself? Again, I believe it was the ministry of the Holy Spirit saying, "Look, go back home." And he did. He said, "Well, I'm going to have to make a clean breast of this. Confess to my Father that I have sinned against heaven and against him." And he resolved to do this and go back to his Father, saying, "Father, I have sinned." But the remarkable thing is that as he was approaching his home, having practiced what he was going to say, the Father saw him and he ran out to meet him. And he kissed him and fell on him. And he ordered people to kill the fatted calf. He ordered people to bring the breast robe and put it on him. And this is what happened. The calf was killed. They had a wonderful dinner that day. Because the father was so pleased that his son had come home. Now I'm sure that when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the father was so pleased that we had come back to him. We were elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and now we're coming back to him so that we can have perfect fellowship. Now what a time must have been in that family when this son come home. All the rejoicing, all the feasting. But there are other things. When that son came home, what did the father do? He put a ring on the boy's finger. So the boy really felt he was part of that family. He was accepted again. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like having the Father putting a ring on our finger and saying, "Look, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are now part of God's family." And he put the best robe upon him. What a wonderful thing. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like us having a robe. And it's the robe of righteousness. The robe that has covered all our sins, because the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful and took them all away. What would have happened if this man hadn't have done that? He could have gone back to his father and said, "Oh, take me back, because I belong here." He could have been belligerent about it, but no, he went back in a humble attitude. And that's the only way that we can come to God. Not saying that we're good and we deserve it, because we don't. We come back to God in this humble attitude, and he does accept us. Now, when the boy got back home, he found that he was forgiven. His sins were all overlooked. And in the same way, when we come to God the Father, because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are remembered no more. You know, it's a Bible expression. Our sins are remembered no more. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has borne the penalty for it. He has taken away. The curse that came with the sin was borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our lot. That we are now accepted in him, because we can stand in his sight justified. What does justified mean? No one can point an accusing finger at us. Why? Because the Lord has taken all that for us. And we're accepted. The Father, of course, threw a wonderful party. Called all the neighbours, all the friends, and they had this wonderful rejoicing. And if you and I have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, and we truly know him, there's a wonderful party for us in store. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And we shall all be together at this wonderful gathering. Then we should rejoice because we're in bodily form with the Father. We should be with him for eternity. What a wonderful outlook that we shall be forever with the Lord. So what is, have you noticed what I was saying? That our salvation doesn't only concern the Lord Jesus Christ, it concerned also the work of the Holy Spirit, and it concerned the attitude of God the Father, the triune God, as accepting us, even though we are sinners. Just one other little thing. What about this older brother? He took the hump. We must remember that the Lord was trying to point out a thing to the publicans and sinners, but he was being overheard by the scribes and the Pharisees. And these scribes and Pharisees were disgruntled because people were following the Lord Jesus. People were repenting. And the Lord had a lot of hard things to say about the Pharisees and the scribes. I suppose there are those who, when people accept the Lord Jesus Christ, grumble about him. But in this case, the father had to reason with the older brother. He said, look, you are mine, you've always been mine. All that I have is yours. Don't be so churlish. And he was rebuked. Now, we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, have perfect fellowship with him, but at times we can get out of line, and on those occasions the Lord has to rebuke us. Chastening is difficult, but the Lord is a good father. But we still remain sons, even though we have to be chastened. Well, that's not the main thrust of these stories. The main thrust of these stories was that we are precious in the sight of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Together they seek for the glory of God. And you must ask yourself tonight, have I responded to the overtures of grace? What do I mean by that? If you are not a child of God yet, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, throw yourself upon his mercy, and ask him to become your Saviour. I believe, if you're not, the Holy Spirit will be prompting you to do this tonight.